own. Blog Talk Radio.
What's that?
The Chiefs got another shot at the title.
Whoops.
And
sorry, Bob.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. We have for you a night of action, suspense, surprises, and that is all abandoned for a few, well, forget it. Anyways, let's get on with the show here and introduce our panelists for tonight. We have here a future kayfabe schmayfabe panelist. And noted MMA freak, VRM. VRM, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And then, in position two, my co-host, the stunning, the intelligent, the wondiferous, and Paul Heyman stalker, Nikki Heyman.
I resent that remark. That's me, thank you very much. I don't stalk him. If I was, I'd be in Chicago looking for him right now.
Yeah, but then you'd have Missy Hyatt talking off your ear.
Not worried about it.
I guess we finally found her lover's favorite S&M thing for her.
I don't know. She was rambling so fast I couldn't tell. I felt like
She needed a gag ball.
Bad enough I don't watch Anna Nicole. I didn't really need to see that either.
Touche. Nobody wants to see the Anna Nicole show anymore.
There you go. Where were we?
Biff DJ here.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
You should be happy you're here. We got a jam-packed show for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where to begin.
Last Sunday.
Yeah, let's start at Sunday. Let me pull out the cards. Yes, I have little cards that I write stuff down for the show in. Unfortunately, they're in invisible ink. Damn, I need to get a real pen. Moving on. We had One Night Stand on June 1st. To the delight to many and the chagrin of many as well. WWE Uncensored, One Bad Joke, In Your House Extreme Rules, One Night Stand. It started off with Jeff Hardy beating Umaga in a Falls Count Anywhere match, which surprisingly looks similar to his big Bound for Glory 2005 match with Abyss.
And I've seen a few other people compare it to the traditional WWE Hardcore 24/7 rules matches. I was rather amused at the ending, the fact that the cameraman did not follow them all the way around to the truck. A little trickery there, but I didn't want to spoil anything.
That's okay, the pay-per-view's passed, it's done.
Okay, then I'll throw this in. The reason the handheld didn't go all the way around all those cases, to see what actually happened with both of those falls, it's just because they had their 6-inch crash pad over there.
And if you couldn't tell there was a crash pad, you're either a mark or just plain stupid.
Or it could be like WCW in 2000.
Junkyard Invitational?
Pretty much.
I love the spot, too, where Jeff Hardy slid down the railing and clotheslined Umaga. That was pretty sweet. That was innovative.
That was gorgeous.
Beautiful, beautiful spot. Then we have the Singapore Kane on a Pole match.
Singapore, watch out for Big Show because when he grabs the cane, you die. Match.
And then we had. Well, we had a special guest in this match, NFL football player Sean Merriman, San Diego Chargers Sean Merriman in his house.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the part where Miz decided he wanted to get the crap kicked out of him by the Big Show.
Well, we got to talk about Sean Merriman first, because he got involved in the match.
Indeed.
And it's funny that they spotlight a former steroid user. to engage in the festivities.
Shh. You're not supposed to know that. Stooge. Anyways, Sean Merriman got hit with a cane by Chavo, so he picked one up and batted Chavo Guerrero back.
And loved every second of it, Mark. Mm-hmm.
The Miz Morrison went at it with Big Show and disappeared behind the curtain. And if you notice, when he came back, his left eye... bloody.
It was bloody, but it wasn't swollen or bruised yet, so it really didn't look that bad. He did it with a spot with the ring steps, and he really doesn't have anybody to blame but himself. He hit his head when he fell down. He's done that spot so many times without a problem. This is just a freak accident.
Yeah. And Big Show finished off Tommy Dreamer. Big surprise there, seeing how much Vince hates the original ECW. So the Big Show challenged Kane for the ECW World title at Night of Champions. Then we had a First Blood match, and Kel Spree's there. John C. used the STFU with a chain around Jibble's neck to make him bleed from the mouth.
I felt bad about this match. This one pretty much sucked all the heat out of the building. The first two matches were fun. Had funny spot, had, you know, really good action to him. This was not even a shadow of what we remember from their Judgment Day match from about 3 years ago.
Mm-mm. He also has recycled that spot before.
What, the STFU of the foreign object?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that last time he used the ring ropes.
Yeah, but that was, you gotta admit, that was a great spot. The ring rope broke. So, seeing that, alright. Ah. And that was just a cool spot altogether. There's some people that Cena works really well with, and some people that Cena doesn't quite gel with.
And in the case of JBL, though, this is somebody he's been proven with, and that's why I don't understand why this match was so bad.
Maybe it's because JBL is still shaking off ring rust?
After 6 months?
Well, think about it. It's JBL.
Well, then there is no ring rust to shake off. He's just... never mind.
He just had a lazy night. And then we had the Diva I Quit match. Now, this was a good, good match.
A lot of people thought it was the best match of the night, and I was leaning that way until the main event, but go on.
Yes, featuring both divas exchanging various submission holds, Beth Phoenix winning out over Melina Perez, who's actually now turned face.
Which is fine in the circumstance, and Beth Phoenix, they made her look so good. I was almost to the point where I could say Beth Phoenix, Awesome Kong, cross-promotion match, somebody book it for me.
That would be a good match. And I think that almost happened. I think that happened before in Japan.
Would not be surprised.
Then we get to the stretcher match.
Very, very amusing little match.
Yes, a good quaint match, and featured a shocking finish. Batista wins!
Despite infinite encouragement for Mr. Jericho. Now, you know, this may not have been match of the night, but I give it story of the night. Jericho could have done a lot more physically in this match. But he didn't.
Right.
All of us were expecting something from Jericho physically. Remember,
I love Jericho's involvement in this match. It was so great. I think Jim Ross's commentary was saying, oh, yeah, he's trying to encourage him. Jim, I don't think he was trying to encourage him. I think that the his involvement in the match was just to try to prevent Batista from pushing him across the line so that that way Batista can inflict more punishment on HBK. And this is the evolution of a great storyline that we're seeing here between Jericho and Michaels.
I predicted this will go to SummerSlam.
And that's what I had predicted as well, and I hope that it is a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. And I posted this on the WrestleCrap forums in the same vein as an HBK Razor Ramon type ladder match. But the reason I say SummerSlam is so to distance it from the TLC match at One Night Stand and Money in the Bank, so that way this ladder match seems a little extra special if it takes place at SummerSlam.
Right, right, right. And then we get to the big title matches. We have Triple H defeating Randy Orton. Now, this match was really cut short after Randy Orton got a broken clavicle.
Yeah, he just landed off on that shoulder. I'd say maybe if he didn't put his arm out, it might not have happened, but the way he fell, his arm hit first, and that probably snapped it back, which shattered right down the middle of the collarbone. That's my interpretation of what happened.
My favorite part of the match there was when he was exiting and he had all the doctors with him and he was in obvious pain and the fans were trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and, you know, doing the old, they knew he was legit injured because, I mean, anybody can tell just from looking at his shoulder the way the collarbone was. And they were kind of there was a few people in the crowd. I'd say a majority of the crowd was actually giving him like a standing O as he was walking to the back. And then he stops and turns and tells them all to shut up in true heel form. And I thought that was hilarious. And I was laughing for like 10 minutes nonstop after that. That was gold.
Then the guy, one guy slapped at him.
Yeah.
Ooh. What I was going to say is what kind of surprises me is that Orton was able to stay in character, yet Triple H wouldn't. And he's been in enough of the situations, especially when he's injured, that when you have an injury like that, what's the first thing you do? You distract the crowd. You try to get the cameras off the legitimate injury. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have heard on the show audio where Orton turns to Kyoto and says, "Hey, I broke my collarbone." Hunter was like, "Now what?" I'm like,
yeah, I saw Hunter come down and kind of break the count to ask if Orton was okay. I noticed that too. That's when you knew that there was, I mean, and they went right away to the sledgehammer, and you're thinking, that's it? And then you go, okay, it's for sure legit.
Yeah, because hearing it on the audio, I was like, oh, now we're really going to work it. And Hunter just seemed a little dazed and confused, goes over, hits him with the sledgehammer, we get him out of there. Then I finally saw Orton's back, and...
Yeah.
You didn't even have to see the top of his shoulder where the collarbone is. Just looking at him from the back, you saw his left shoulder drooping, and it was like, okay, that cannot be natural.
Yeah, that's what didn't distract me, though. It was a huge knob that popped up directly under his shoulder blade. That's what was getting me.
Right. And now we move on to the main event. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Edge versus The Undertaker. Now, DJ had the gall to pick Edge.
That is correct.
In fucking hell, he was right.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, I trusted my gut, and I didn't know about The Undertaker supposedly taking time off. I just kind of thought that they would drop this feud since there's nobody else on SmackDown. And I don't know. I just felt TLC is Edge's match. Familio will get involved, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. All four members of La Familia repeatedly interfering on behalf of Edge. I mean, it was more like a 5-on-1.
And
so now La Familia gets to play this. You gotta love a remote control sound effect.
I just thought that the deck was stacked that high and there was no build up to him being retired. I didn't think they would have the guts to play this card. Word didn't get out that Undertaker needed the time off until after the pay-per-view. That was very well guarded, and I'm sure everybody else here was picking the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And a lot of people
actually I found out from one of my guys who was trolling on some of the websites that in like around 2 or 3 o'clock the day of, he told me that Taker wants time off. It's like, oh crap. But the thing that had me bugged about this match, the spots were so obviously set up. I mean, the way they repositioned the ladder like 10 billion times after they set up all the chairs and everything, it was so obvious.
You got to chalk some of that up to Undertaker's inexperience with this style of match. Remember, his only other time dealing with anything relating to a ladder is his legendary undisputed title match with Jeff Hardy. Two-person TLC match is hard enough to do, even with experienced guys, or even, you know, even a semi-experienced guy who's at least a hardcore brawler. TLCs aren't meant for two people. I really disagree and disapprove of stuff like that.
I'll tell you, the last about 6 minutes of that match was amazing, and I'm surprised that The Undertaker didn't get, you know, a lot of reaction. I'm sure people think, yeah, like they're really going to rid themselves of The Undertaker. A lot of reports have been going around that he may come back as the Dead Man on Raw, he may come back as the American Badass on Raw, or that he's actually going to probably be out until about Survivor Series and take a lot of time off. So we'll see where it goes there. But a lot of people think actually he may be legit retired, and the way they kind of did the whole thing where The Undertaker kind of usually does the turns back and raises the arm in the last ride kind of pose, but this time he kind of turned all the way around and looked at everybody and gave a slight nod. You know, there was no music, no druids. Usually you see him carried out, you know, but this time it wasn't like that. So you kind of leaves you, maybe they're just trying to fool us again, but I don't know. It seems more legit than any of the other times Undertaker has taken time off. So we'll see.
I think Undertaker's just leaving the door open. He's leaving all possibilities available, which is nice. You know, if he wants to take off till SummerSlam, great. If he wants to take off till Survivor Series, it's cool. The big rumor is if he comes back, he might just go ahead and set up his retirement at WrestleMania 25.
In Texas, which is, I believe, where he resides now?
As where he's originally from, too, I believe.
Yeah, he is originally from Houston, Texas. And now I have the results in my hand, but I don't really need to mention them because DJ is a lucky bastard and got a perfecta. All 7 right.
Call me Kurt Hennig. About time I got one of these things right.
I threw a towel at you.
I'll spit out my gum and slap it.
And Patrick Wayne has something to say to you. I gotta fill in as many game show sound effects that I can. If not that, just Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sure.
Shall we move on?
Plus one for Tecmo Super Bowl, that's all.
Yeah. If you guys want to call in, the number is 1-646-716-9678. We also have the chat room available for if you want to hop on and talk to us through there.
Do I get physical custody of the NAWC Fizzleweight Championship?
All yours, man.
Yep.
Sweet.
However, okay. Glory is short-lived.
And it will be, because I'll go back to my regular form for the next TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah, which is this weekend.
Okay.
So why don't we talk about some Raw, shall we?
Please.
Do it.
Let me just As we know, Monday Night Raw came from Bakersfield, California this time around. And here's a question. Is it just me, or did Vince McMahon look like a throwback to the mid-80s, Vince McMahon with the suit he was wearing?
I didn't hear Stand Back playing, so no.
I saw the Vince McMahon suit appreciation thread on WrestleCup forums, and I have to say, I was pretty impressed with Vinnie Mac's duds this week on Raw.
Let's talk some... Actually, what's happening is we have dark match, and now we have three of them. So instead of heat, we just get dark matches, which is okay. Wrong Killings defeated Highlander Robbie.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm jumping on heat. Wait.
You're now dark matching. Super Crazy defeated Joey Ryan. Hey. I know Joey Ryan is a popular indie wrestler. What does he do? Like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Chikara?
Probably a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Alright. Because out of all the wrestlers I'm seeing that on Raw, that was in the dark matches, that's the only guy who I didn't fully comprehend. However, he does look a lot like Wolf from American Gladiators. I would have saw it this week, but damn you, NHL!
Yeah, me too.
My Penguins lost. Shame.
That's what they get for preempting AG.
And Paul London and Brian Kendrick defeated Charlie Haas and Gene Snitsky?
Is Charlie Haas just drawing names out of a hat for tag team partners?
Probably.
And did he do Lucha Man at least? Or have they given up on that?
I think they've given up on that.
Darn.
All right. Now, we got Triple H, John Cena, Jeff Hardy in the ring. They show clips of Randy Orton's breaking his collarbone at One Night Stand. And Triple H proclaimed that the Age of Orton is officially dead. John Cena comes to the ring and says, "I want a title match." Jeff Hardy stumbled and limped out to the ring, selling his injuries from the Falls Count Anywhere match, stating, "Hey, I want title match too. So, how about Cena, me, winner faces Trips at One Night Stand?"
Night of Champions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Night of Champions. Sorry. Slip of the tongue there. Then Vince comes out on the big screen and suggests John Cena versus Jeff Hardy, basically taking Jeff Hardy's idea.
That was hilarious.
I hear he does that in booking meetings, too.
Oh, he does that a lot, too. You could see that a lot on... WrestleCrap has an interview with Seth Mates, former creative guy who... he was part of Katie Vick. He was part of Al Wilson, Billy and Chuck.
He must die.
He didn't actually create them. He did tell us who actually did make them. We get to Mr. Kennedy defeating Umaga via count because his schedule opponent was Paul Burchill. Paul Burchill snuck up behind and clipped his knee and nailed the curb stomp. And then we get Vince McMahon telling us about Million Dollar Mania. And
who wants to win $2?
Can I tell you guys very quickly that I enjoyed his promo, although he talked about some things that I didn't agree with. The thing about bringing fans back to Raw and trying to make it seem half interesting again, and talking about wrestling fans that have left the product, it was kind of like we weren't listening to Mr. McMahon, the character. That was pretty much Vince out there talking.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that we don't have to see, heelish asshole Mr. McMahon all the time, and we get to see this side of Vince. It's kind of refreshing to see him change up his character. So I actually like the promo. You know, a lot of people thought it was a desperate ploy for ratings, which it is, and that it kind of had no place on the show. But I did enjoy it, and I'm interested to see where this goes. And I hope somebody calls one of us. That would be nice.
And then we get to Marilla and Cole defeating Holly and Rhodes. Roddy Piper was the special guest time keener for this match. After a few minutes, Piper tried to interfere targeting Santino, but it backfired and actually helped Santino win the match. Go figure.
We are winners. That's winners.
And then we get Ted DiBiase Jr. coming in and says that he was 3 weeks away from choosing a partner to challenge for the World Tag Team titles.
Yay.
You know who I wish he would choose?
Cody.
No. IRS.
He can call his daddy.
No, he can't call his daddy. His daddy retired.
I envision what Nikki's saying, that it will be, he'll come out like alone and then they'll attack Holly and pretty much Cody will get to retain his belt no matter what.
Right. And then we get Chris Jericho saying he has been defending the Intercontinental title, but that will change tonight. His match with JBL. He's going to defend the title week in, week out, week in, week out.
And he stopped the commercial just to make sure he got all that in.
Uh-huh. What the heck was that?
Wasn't me.
Not me.
Not me either.
Not me.
Must have been a Blog Talk Radio thing. I think this happened during Kayfabe Shmayfabe.
It did.
It did. Oh, figures. Divas tag match. Beth Phoenix and Katie Lee defeated Mickey James and Melina Perez. Next match when Katie Lee pinned Women's Champion Mickey James. I forgot what finisher she used.
Great,
I don't recall.
Women's division is getting better. My favorite four divas out of the moment, all on the ring at one time. Good stuff.
Women's wrestlers? All wrestlers in the ring? Wrestling at the same time.
You're kidding.
It's only Monday.
Yeah.
I forgot about Victoria. So if Victoria was in it, then it would be my favorite four. But
then it'd be perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, but then we got to... Well, you could throw... Did you accept Michelle McCool in there to make it a six-man?
Yes. Absolutely. Oh, Natty?
No.
Not Natty.
Wouldn't work. Natty's heel.
Never stop it. It just may add to the intrigue. Or make it a 4-on-2 handicap.
Okay, that works. We had a grudge match. Lance Cade defeated Trevor Murdoch, which... they should have done this earlier.
I marked out for Murdoch's entrance theme. It was great.
I sing my own entrance.
Yes, which hasn't been done since, gosh, who was the last?
Jericho, what? Briefly.
Right. Then we get a backstage segment with Mickey James and John Cena, the segment that thoroughly would piss Blade Braxton off. Mickey James was getting checked by the trainer when John Cena came to apologize for everyone gossiping about them. John said Mickey forgot something last night and gave Mickey, he gave her underwear back.
That segment needed more Mike Adamly.
I don't even think Mike Adamly could have saved that segment.
No. You needed a seance. You needed a seance to get to that segment because it was just dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a number one contenders match. John Cena defeats Jeff Hardy, Kel Surprise. However, once again, we had a fan jump into the ring and had to be physically dragged out of the arena.
That was funny.
I'm not a big fan of that myself, although props to Cena and Jeff. Cena at one point looked over this. She's, you know what? Nobody's watching us. Jeff, take a breather, man. We're going to wait till they at least get him over back over the barricade and out of everybody's view. Stalled the match, but
they can't encourage stuff like that. This hasn't happened for the better part of a year. The last one we had was WrestleMania 23, with the idiot and the British boxers trying to pull something in the main.
And someone please get Ahmed Johnson a job so that he doesn't have to do this all the time.
I was going to say D'Lo, and they finally gave him a contract, but I'm getting off base.
Yes.
Well, D'Lo Brown's got a contract now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Then we got to... Hey, it's D'Lo. That means we got to play this. He was one of the highlights of the old Attitude Era.
You're looking at the real deal now.
Better get your sorry ass out on the street. Victory is sweet. Okay, ECW.
Yes, let's talk ECW.
We haven't talked ECW in this show in about, what, a month?
Probably.
Best show of the week, people. And Nikki, I'm guessing you know why.
Yes.
I marked out.
I did too. Hard.
Two words spring to mind. Matt Sydal.
Woo!
Yes.
Matt Sydal made his debut, and, well, he was pretty damn good.
That he was. But then again, I could watch him every other day in a match with a broomstick and not get tired of it.
And unfortunately, he came out on the losing end via countout, but however, he looked really strong in that match.
Not bad for entrance during commercial.
Yeah. The way he lost was he got thrown onto Kofi Kingston, thus getting him DQ'd, getting him counted out. But then again, Matt Sydal's what, only, what, $175?
If that.
Yeah, if that.
Plus, he bumps so awesomely. Like, he'll make everything, he makes everything look so believable. He sells it really good without overselling it. And, I mean,
right.
You even noticed that in the match as well. He made Shelton look really good, too,
mm-hmm.
putting him over.
Mutually beneficial is what we'll call it. And speaking on that note, we have Nikki, I believe you have a good Matt Sydal story to tell us.
I've got to tell the story. I was the one and only Ring of Honor show I attended was Survivor of the Fittest. Good Lord, my English stinks tonight.
Survival of the Fittest 2006.
Correct, because this was up at the old Armory in Cleveland. Matt Sydal was in the Survival of the Fittest match. He won his qualifier against Jimmy Rave. The main was him, Delirious, Briscoes. I want to say Chris Hero, but don't quote me.
It was Hero.
Okay. And I know I'm missing somebody. But it came down to Delirious and Matt Sydal. And the two of them left the ring often at this point in the match because, as you know, both of these guys love to fly around. To the point that Delirious actually got over the guardrail on our side, pretty much right in front of me, had us all back up, as Matt Sydal executed a picture-perfect moonsault from the top turnbuckle over the barricade into Delirious's arms, with the two of them landing at my feet. Another couple of feet, and yeah, I'd have been under them, and probably grinning like an idiot. I had the good fortune of meeting him that night and just told him that his work was spectacular and I hoped that I would run into him again. This was apparently just a few months before WWE gave him a call. So I ran into him regularly when OVW was still under WWE's umbrella. I did get to shake hands and say goodbye to this young man before he moved down to Florida Championship Wrestling. And in a cute bit of trivia, I share a birthday with him.
Very entertaining, Nikki. Very entertaining.
And so is Mr. Seidel. I hope to see more of him in the future.
I think you will.
Yay.
Didn't you get to hold a belt too, Nikki?
Yes, I actually did. Matt Seidel was OVW champion for a couple of months. I have a picture standing with Mr. Seidel and holding the OVW title. The first time I did that, though, he would not let me hold it. He was told by the OVW officials that he was not allowed to take it off unless he was showering. It was to the point. After an OVW show, he came, him and Colt Cabana, and I believe Ace Steel was still with us, went to the meet, greet, and eat, and Seidel showed up with the belt on and wore it all through dinner and still had it on when he was taking pictures with people in the bar.
We actually, we sat at his table at the last Cincinnati event with WWE stars. It was him, Colt, and Apocalypse. Am I correct?
That's correct. Apocalypse from DCW, who I saw him at OVW the last time I was down there. I believe that was back in April. He's doing really well over there. Dinsmore's back, and he's ecstatic. He's very happy to be there. I met the new referee, Bill Clark. Great guy. Reminds me a little bit of Goose Mahoney. Pretty much, you know, a lot of people did end up staying behind a lot more than I was expecting. Still makes for a good show because you can run into the locals down there. Sonic Fang is a new tag team down there that I can recommend highly. Dinsmore is always a joy to watch. Apocalypse, of course.
I wish I would have been able to see to talk to Apocalypse, because it wasn't until after I left there that I did some research on him, and I guess he trained at the Dungeon.
Yes, he did. He brought that up to me. This wasn't the first show that he'd come. We'd sat with him at Meet Greet Meet, and he'd brought that up. I was hoping they would do another one of those, but I don't think Kenny Boland's going to put the money forward to do it.
Doubt it.
Yeah, because I would ask so many questions, you know, regarding, because I think he was one of the last graduating classes to go through the original Dungeon.
Right.
With Stu. Anyway.
I have some SmackDown ECW news, which just came down the pike. SmackDown ECW crews will have back-to-back TV tapings this weekend. Before their upcoming tour of New Zealand and Australia.
Okay.
Next week's edition of ECW on Sci-Fi and SmackDown, you know, airing on 610 and 613, will be taped Saturday night in Fresno. And the following week's edition of ECW, 617 and 620, will be taped on Sunday in San Jose, California. The crews will then make their long flights over to Auckland, New Zealand, which they will begin their overseas tour for show on Wednesday night. So we'll have a couple of nights to relax, rest, and go, because I think they're doing the tour to SummerSlam.
Right.
Meanwhile, Raw's going to be going on as regularly planned. Normal weekend of house shows tomorrow night in Redding, California, and Sunday night, Stockton, California, with a 5 p.m. start time. Various, and then Raw will be live from the Oracle Arena Monday in Oakland, California. So, 5 straight shots in California. They've probably done, 3 months of TV in, 3 weeks of TV, excuse me, in California alone.
Mm-hmm.
And when does Ray scheduled to come back? 621, I believe.
I heard as early as June 14th, but it sounds like they've pushed it all the way back into July.
I think that's a good thing for Ray.
I think so, too, because the last thing we need is to watch his arm fall off in the ring.
Yeah. And that's all that needs to be said about SmackDown. I have not get a chance to watch SmackDown tonight. I will probably just I will torrent it tomorrow morning and watch before I have to go to somebody's graduation party at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Wasn't too impressive.
I need to get my Howard Finkel voice ready.
Speaking of shows, DJ.
Yes, Wheeling.
Did you know that West Banco's getting a show at the end of July?
July 26th. I already took the day off of work. And I think it's going on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So.
Which sucks, because so do the Charleston, West Virginia tickets.
Would you like me to then try to get tickets for, because I'm probably going to drive down, because the arena's 10 minutes from my house. I'm probably going to try to drive down tomorrow morning and be there when the box office opens rather than do it. Every time I do it on the internet, I can never get front row, second row. I usually get, like, third row, and I don't like it. So I'm going to what do you recommend? What would you suppose I should do?
Well, does West Banco do lottery?
I have no idea how they...
Okay. This is why I don't do arenas anymore. I can usually pound ticket crapper into submission. I usually have pretty good luck. But I do need to... Unfortunately, I need to do both on sales. And for Charleston, I have to buy for myself and for Bear.
Okay.
Now, I'm pretty much buying solo for Wheeling, so...
What's happening to my sounds?
I've had this echo all night, and I don't have my earpiece in, and I've had the echo before.
No, it's not that. It's my, hold on. Fuck. It's my bell. It's not going on.
Hey.
We'll just replace the bell with the dragon. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for TNA Slammiversary Pick'ems, and it is for the NAWC Fizzleweight Championship. And here are the rules. You'll receive 1 point for each match. Whoever has the most points at the end of the pay-per-view wins and becomes the new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion. How about that?
Very impressive.
Shut up, Borash.
Oh, you want JB to tell you a little bit more about the pay-per-view?
I think we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 7 matches lined up for this. So is everybody ready to go?
Let's do it.
Do it.
All right, 4 people here. We got VRM, we got Nikki Heyman, we got Mr. Perfect, and we got myself.
To be the man, woo! You gotta beat the man.
Well, in the last case, you beat the wolf man.
That is true.
Thanks for the raspberry. All right, take that back. We're not getting 7 matches. We're getting 6 matches. Excuse me, 6 matches according to what they have on TNA.com. Which is understandable because they're probably spending a lot of time to... Because there's some good matches here. Let's go on, shall we? Knockouts tag team match. Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy Laveau. And hold on. Is it just me or does Roxy Laveau look like Sinead O'Connor now?
Only if she shows up one night and rips up a picture of Vince Russo.
Fight the real power! And it's all apropos since it came out in a freaking Pope Mobile once.
Yep. That's why I suggested it.
Which I have the clip of on YouTube. Just check my favorites and it's there.
All right.
Actually, I'll give you guys the link after the show.
Awesome.
Knockouts tag team match, Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy versus the Beautiful People, which is Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, and Mickey Knuckles, who just made her debut just yesterday, I believe.
Yep.
Who is Mickey Knuckles again?
Mickey Knuckles debuted last night on TNA Impact. She is the muscle behind her. I'm going to look up information on Mickey Knuckles through my favorite source for wrestling information, onlineworldofwrestling.com.
I can go off my one factoid. I think she's one of the few females that's ever trained under Axelotten. She looks like she's related to him, or a female Balls Mahoney, depending on how you want to look at it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, she's real beautiful.
You're right. No, not Axel, Ian Rock.
Ian, okay, my bad.
Clarksville, Indiana, 5'4". She has won, she's a standard in IWA Mid-South Wrestling, winning the NWA Midwest Women's title, the Queen of the Death match from 2006, Deep South Tag Team titles with Ian Rotten, defeating the Iron Saints, and she is the Mid-South Women's title holder, defeating Chuck Taylor.
Ooh, she is pretty.
pretty ugly.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's pretty much spent all of her time in IWA Mid-South. However, sporadically she has appeared in Elite Professional Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Unplugged, and more recently Combat Zone Wrestling in a losing effort to Lufisto.
Hmm.
So we'll do which team wins? And we'll go with VRM.
I'm going to say that that's a beautiful people's gimmick. I think Mickey's going to make a semi-impressive debut, and somehow the heels are going to take this one, beautiful people.
Nikki?
I got to say the beautiful people. They've got to get Mickey Knuckles further established, so what better way to do that than to beat the crap out of a handful of faces?
And DJ, champ?
I'm going to go against the grain here. Beautiful people. I thought one of them was working with some kind of an injury. I don't know how long ago that was. So I'm
That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's close enough that I'm going to go with Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy. Because Roxy's actually seems to have some momentum going in. Usually that for other pay-per-views, that would mean they would lose. But with TNA, I'm going against the grain. Gail Kim, ODB, Roxy.
Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy do not have momentum because the beautiful people just decimated them before the pay-per-view.
Well, not in the sense of momentum, but she's becoming more prominently featured. That's what I meant by that. So.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy because the beautiful people have had Roxy's number for, what, the past few months or so. So it's time that Roxy pulls out a win and gives one of them the brown bag treatment, and then just smashes their head in on it. Awesome Kong's Open Challenge is going to be featured at Slammiversary. This one's going to be a two-pointer. One, who will show up and partake in this? And two, will they win? DJ?
Who will show up? Who will show up? Golly, I'm trying to think of women's wrestlers from WWE that they could pilfer away. None come to mind as of right now. So I'm going to go to Shimmer, where they like to bring in a lot of women's athletes, and I'm going to pick Sarah Del Rey, and I will say that Kong retains.
Nikki?
First of all, I'm going to say thank you, Dafty, for dropping by. I had a blast watching you. I'm sorry you got killed. I'd love to see her come back, but I don't think it's going to be her. But I don't think we're going to have to go very far because there were three gals sitting out there trying to get a shot. I'm going to tip my hat to Amber O'Neill and see if she can get it. She can get in the ring with her. She's not going to win, but she's going to get in the ring with her.
VRM?
I have no idea who's going to show because I don't follow indie wrestling whatsoever. If I had to say someone, they're going to steal someone from WWE. They'd probably steal like a person who's like semi-retired slash retired. So, for some reason, I'm thinking Stacy might show up. I have no idea why. I think Stacy might show up and just get buried.
Stacy Keibler?
I have no idea.
I'm done.
All right. I think you're right on the right track with Daphne, but not having to go too far. You would go to her tag partner, Mischief.
All right.
And they're going to have a boffo match, as evidence from Shimmer 9. And I got Kong winning. But it's going to be close. Then we have our TNA X Division title match. Little Petey Pump versus Kaz. And who do you guys got winning?
Petey still hurt?
Yeah, I'm still here. We go to DJ.
I watched the promo yesterday with Petey and Scott Steiner. I just wanted to say it was hilarious because Petey couldn't get in the word edgewise. And when Scott Steiner finally left, he says, "Oh, we're out of time." And he's like, "I'm going to keep talking until they cut to commercial." And they cut, like, right then, which is hilarious. Petey's evolving as a character. They said, "Who the heck is Kaz?" So I'm going to go with Petey retain.
Nikki?
Petey's orbital is healed, and it must be if they're going to let him jump in the ring with Kaz. I love Kaz to death, and he's got his wonderful little bonus that he won with the X Division King of the Mountain match that he'll get to play with. Petey retains for the time being. Kaz is going to have more fun the week after.
Right. VRM?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. It's not very often that you have the guy with the second level belt on a show get their shot at the main belt the next night. So I'm gonna go with Petey as well.
Let's make it a sweeper. I'm picking Petey too. Although Cass has got powerful momentum, he's got another title shot to play with.
Right.
So he might just beat Petey Williams up really bad. Anyways, I got Petey winning this one. We go to the TNA Tag Team Championship match now, LAX versus Team 3D. Let's go to VRM.
This one's a toss-up for me. I mean, Team 3D has, like, all this heel support. I mean, they have Booker, they have... Who else do they have with their Tomko? They got like
Angle.
Majority of the major heels over there. And LAX, of course, has the Latino Nation, and they've got some major face support. I'm going to go with the soon-to-be 21-time tag team champions, Team 3D.
Nikki?
Team 3D is really starting to step up their game, and much as I want to back them through my own personal biases, I really think LAX is going to hold on to it. It's going to be wild, though. There's going to be a lot of people out there. trying to steer this one. LAX retained.
DJ.
I agree with VRM in the sense that they really want to put the belts on Team 3D because Kurt Angle and Booker T would join them at the top of the card. But being that LAX just won the titles at the last pay-per-view, I believe, I don't think they're going to take it away from this quickly. They've been generating a lot of buzz recently, so I'm going to say that for now they retain. I know the plan is probably for Team 3D to take it, but I say LAX holds on in this pay-per-view.
I see Team 3D taking it at Victory Road when it's in Houston and Booker T's hometown.
There you go.
So I'm going to go with LAX for right now. Let's get to a grudge match. Styles versus Kurt Angle. If Kurt's cleared. If Kurt is not cleared, then it will probably end up being Tomko. So who you got, DJ?
That alone leads me to believe that AJ is going to win. I think that that would kind of throw some more chaos into the storyline with AJ and Kurt and Karen. And I kind of want to see AJ win for that reason. So
Nikki?
I'll go against the super dork for AJ.
I'm with DJ on this one. Since AJ is the constant here, that's going to be the safer bet. Because if Angle's not 100% and they put Tomko out there, you know, what will Tomko add to the storyline if they want to keep going with the love rhombus that they've already built here?
Right. And VRM.
Yeah, the way they've been playing up this feud and everything, I'm going to go for AJ. I mean, if they're going so far as to make the serious AJ promo this past week, it's going to be AJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go with AJ, too. He seems to have a whole bunch of momentum going into this one, so he'll probably take it. And since the WWE momentum rule does not apply in TNA, since, who knows. Now we got to the big King of the Mountain match. This is a two-parter, so 2 points available on this one. There'll be 2 questions asked to this one, and please shorten the answers because we're running out of time. Who will be the person to take the first fall, the first one to qualify, and who wins? DJ.
I'm not sure how this match works, so can you explain it to me really quick?
5 people in the ring. The goal, it's a reverse ladder match. The goal is to hang the championship belt onto a hook about 10, 15 feet above the ring. You pin a person, you qualify to put the belt on the hook.
Okay, so the first person to qualify will be Booker T, and Samoa Joe will win the match.
Nikki?
First fall to Christian Cage, but Joe retains.
DJ, VRM.
First of all, the Booker, Cage wins after the Abyss interference.
Ooh.
The Abyss interference? Nice. However, you got it wrong. Samoa Joe gets the first fall. However, we're going to have a Vince Russo swerve here. Nash turns on Joe. Team 3D comes in. We have Robert Roode and we have James Storm that's going to come down and ruin it all. Booker T is going to be free and clear to hang the belt up. Booker T is your TNA World Heavyweight Champion after Slammiversary.
TNA wankers around the world will revolt.
Because, come on.
Battleman, did you forget a match?
No.
The match made in heaven.
Ah.
Oh! We could talk about that, but we've run out of time.
No!
But, ladies and gentlemen, we will be going into archive, and we will talk about the match made in heaven. Jay Lethal and SoCal Val getting married. That crazy bachelor party. And what's going to be happening at the wedding. So, for VRM, for Nikki Hammond and for the NWA Fizzleweight Champion DJ, I'm Robert Solomon saying peace. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the archive section of the program. Okay. How about that bachelor party that happened on Impact?
Evidently, they can't get past the whole Billy and Chuck thing for Kip James, because he was now his moniker is the megastar, and assuredly, that moniker didn't come from his dancing skills, because then he would be a no star at all.
He'd be a falling star.
Although it was kind of fun to listen to JB commentate the party drunk.
And how about James Storm just barging in?
Good.
Ah, hilarious.
Wrestling fans, this is Jeremy Borl.
I mean, you had everything here. You had with best man Sanjay Dutt, a drunk as hell James Storm, and advice offering BG James. I loved his advice.
And Shark Boy puking in the fake plants.
Yes. I got two pieces of advice for you, Black Machismo. One, learn how to take orders. Yeah. Number two, learn how to keep your mouth shut. Yeah!
Let's do a pick 'em on this. Let's do they get married, yes or no? And if you think no, who breaks up the wedding? Can we do that and add that to
No.
Pick 'em?
We're not going to do a pick 'em on this one.
Can we do it for fun?
Sure.
Okay, I'll start it off. I'll go with no. They do not get married. And who breaks it up? Eric Young in an Elvis suit. Book it, TNA. Book it right
That's
now.
That's Russo. I wouldn't put it past them. That's Russo booking right there.
Book it right now, baby.
You know who I think ruins it?
Okay.
Yes, they get married. But Sanjay Dutt ruins it. And he debuts his new gimmick. Sensational Sanjay Dutt.
Oh, so he's going to wear a black dress and paint his face? And sing like he's got an orgasm?
Yes!
That deserves a da-da-da-da! Woo!
Fail!
No, that does not deserve a fail, because listen, because come on. Sanjay Dutt's been acting, you know, very lovey-dovey to Jay Lethal for, what, the past few months?
Well, all right, I'll give you that much.
Hey, come on, how long has it been since we had, like, an adorable Adrian Adonis or exotic Adrian Street gimmick?
Well, there we go. Exotic Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think, Nikki?
I want the marriage to actually go through, because if Calval is going to marry him, does that mean she's now called So Lethal?
Yes.
Okay. Just on that name alone, let's say they get married, but she doesn't care, and she turns on him and runs off with Sanjay.
And the thing is, he forgot to sign the prenup.
Yep, and she takes everything with her. And the gimmick.
Oh, great. Now, Jay Lethal's going to be jobbing again. We got to see the pathetic green and white tights.
So, yes, Sanjay dealt with his new valet, so lethal. Book it, Russo, because I know you're salivating over it right now.
Actually, Russo is salivating over the fact that the new... that the Popemobile video from his WCW Nitro days have gotten close to 5,000 hits. Anyways.
Yawn. I don't even get to say in this one?
Yeah.
Okay, I think... Yes, they will get married, but it's going to be, at the moment, it'll be ruined by a combination of Eric Young in the Elvis suit, Sanjay trying to break it up, and Jake the Snake.
There we go.
Ooh, I forgot about the celebrity guest.
Oh, you haven't got to them yet, because that's next.
Oh, and there will be some involvement from Big Fat Oily Guy, too.
No. He's been... Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying to forget
absolutely.
All about that guy. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
If we can't have the beautiful people show up in black wedding dresses to make fun of SoCal Val.
Well, no, they'll be getting their brains beat in, so remember that.
Or can we get Abyss showing up doing the Kane moment a la the Edge and Lita wedding?
Name of the Lord Jesus Christ!
I know it's wrong to laugh at that. I know it's
Wait
wrong to laugh at that.
You know what we need? I have an idea.
Uh-oh.
We need to go back to the Billy and Chuck wedding and get Eric Bischoff.
Yes. Yes, as the priest, but who would be his 3-minute warning?
Who is the Rock? Oh, Rock and Rave Infection.
3 minutes.
Hey, it works.
Oh,
okay.
That is so wrong.
I get off for the evening.
All right.
Hey, give me a call tomorrow morning with regards to wheeling, so that way I can set something up.
Okay.
All right, take care, DJ.
All right, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Because we're almost done here. We're going to finish up the bachelor party, then we'll probably call it an evening.
Later.
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 All
right. Bye. Okay, then we get to the groomsmen. Coco Beware, George the Animal Steel, and Kamala.
With Eric Young as Kimchi.
Yes. No. He's too skinny to be Kimchi. Who could fit Kimchi and is not doing... Oh, I got it. Scott D'Amore.
Yeah.
And Sanjay does say no bachelor party to be completely without a stripper, so he called out Kip James to do a striptease.
And which one of Tori Wilson's outfits was he wearing? I missed this part.
Which one of Tori Wilson's outfits?
Yeah.
Tuesdays.
Oh.
So yeah, the bad one.
At least you didn't kick the flesh tone bikini.
Mm-hmm. Then we get to the last part. Former American Idol finalist Ace Young called for someone to bring in the big cake. of which Christy Henme. Christy Hammy jumped out of it, and the Rock and Rave Infection showed up and started performing, but were kicked out. Thank God.
Ooh. It's because they don't have a rock band set.
Huh?
It's because they don't have a rock band set.
Our hero.
Slashpoint is the man.
There's still, you know, that'd be great if they had the rock band set. Christy Hemme's microphone has the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the guitar?
Slash Hoyt.
Slash Hoyt and Jimmy Rave is stuck with the drums.
Yes.
Well, he does the We Love You whatever. Isn't that normally the drummer that does that?
No,
I thought it was the bassist.
Yeah. It is the bassist. We love you, San Dimas! I'm waiting for Jimmy Rave to do that one.
Let's see. They're going to be... They keep saying the first time in Nashville, but that's where they were last year for Slammiversary.
No, they're doing it's Memphis.
Oh, Memphis, my bad.
Why do you think Eric Young's looking for Elvis?
Because he's perpetually lost. So let's see, what would they have to say there? We love you, San Antonio.
Oh, and I got a good one. We love you, New Orleans.
Ooh. Let's see, they're north enough. We love you, Biloxi.
There you go. And Sanjay Dutt brought out ODB, who wheeled in a box that contained a big yellow snake. That said, it was confirmed that Jake Roberts will be attending the wedding on Sunday.
Let's see what a clean and sober Jake Roberts is going to look like.
Probably just as bad as he did when he was drunk at the 2006 Bound for Glory.
Oh, my. Actually, he wasn't that bad of shape. He just, you know, he didn't have to do that much.
Right. Anyways, I think we should wrap it up for tonight. We've discussed pretty much all that we need to discuss.
Yep. Although I will pass along, if anybody is in the Indianapolis area, Insanity Pro Wrestling is doing a show tomorrow night. There is a very good chance that I will be sitting at the announce table providing additional commentary. Fingers crossed, folks.
So I hope to get a DVD of it, and we will see all of you guys next week here on the North American Wrestling Connection. Be sure to look at the WrestleCrap forums for the WrestleCrap Forum Radio Network, where the next thing that will be taking place is Capture Suplex Radio. We'll start off at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. WXUTF. Hold on, let me find the link. Why does my computer have to be so frickin' slow?
Because it's tired.
I just restarted it an hour and a half ago before the show. There we go. Anybody listen to NRD? Here it is. The next show is Capture Suplex Radio. You can listen to that fantastic program. Hold on, I gotta go to page frickin' 2. Dear Lord, please help me. Here we go. You can listen to Capture Suplex Radio on WXUT.com. Starts at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. And as a reminder, Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, you can catch Kayfabe Schmafia, posted by Chris Decker and Dr. Claw. We'll see you next time on the North American Wrestling Connection. I'm Robert Solomon saying goodbye.
Night, folks.